episode 79 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Today is March the 31st, 2012. I am Matthew Dean Furlough, and this is not my brother, James Furlough. April Fools! Everybody will be listening to this on April 1st, so that joke's not quite as stupid, although I did say that today is March 31st.
April Fools, it's actually April 1st.
It's a big surprise show. Ironically, the one thing I didn't like add to our article list was Google's April Fools joke, which we might get around to talking to briefly, but
yeah, maybe. So I am here. I was gone last week. And I am back from Mexico. Literally, I have been home for about half an hour, I think. So I have not showered, which is why my hair looks crazy. I stink. I don't know how else to say that because I haven't showered. I haven't showered since Friday. So I stink significantly. But I'm here. I'm doing the podcast, and I will admit to have I read some articles and some stuff, but not all of them. And I think part of that is I was trying some different readers out, since you know Google's being dumb,
ruining the
world. And so the one that I was trying, which was Feedly, I am still getting used to it. There's some quirks to it that I really don't like, and I'm trying to figure out how to go around it. And so that, you know, slowed me down and stuff like that. But so I'm back completely ill-prepared. I don't have a sheet open. I don't know what stories we're going to talk about. Matthew, it's all on you.
Great. So, now people are going to have to be miserable 2 weeks in a row. That's awesome.
No, it's okay. I think it'll be all right because I won't be distracted by like reading the article. I will be present in the conversation. Another thing we're doing, so this will be interesting, is I'm not recording this. I'm letting Google do everything. Normally I have a backup recording go, and I don't.
Yeah.
This time. No particular reason why, other than
technically,
I want to try it.
Technically, I know you may not have experienced this, but technically what's the word I'm looking for? We actually pioneered that first step last week.
That's right.
I didn't have the recording equipment to be able to record it because I could only record it locally and not with our special guest, Evneet. That was all done over. If you liked the quality, that's why.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes. Taking a risk. I would say for the last like 6 weeks, that's been the case. I haven't been, I've been recording it and not using it and just literally deleting it. And so I'm like, well, let's save a step. Let's see how that works. And then if this works the way that I think it will, I have some other ideas for future weeks. But being that I was literally only home for a half hour, I did not have time to implement them. So
no worries. Well, and not to,
that's enough administrative garbage. Let's get on with the show.
Yeah, let's, seriously. This week, like every week, we'll be talking about technology and the continuing corporate opera, or the soap opera of corporations' dealings back and forth, the people working for them, their marketing campaigns, and the technology they're developing. Happy Easter. And before we get into the heart of the show, James has a short
disclosure. Did you say Happy Easter? Did you throw that one in there?
Okay. You know, I suddenly realized that it's actually Sunday, and, you know, it's like a big holiday and whatnot.
It is. Where were we? I have a disclosure. Is that what we're doing? I still work for HP. Well, I haven't opened up my email, so I'm in like a week. So I'm pretty sure I still work for HP. no reason why not. However, during this podcast, I do not represent HP or anything they've done in the last week or before then. And so there you go.
Nice. You want to... I like the disclosure within the disclosure. I work for HP, probably. If you want to follow us throughout the week and find out if James actually still has a job or not, you're welcome to follow us on the tweeters. I am at Matthew D. Furlough.
I can do this. Sorry. And I am at James Furlough.
And we really need you all to follow us, okay? Like, if you listen to the show and you're like, yeah, you know, they're great, but I'm not going to follow them throughout the week. That's ridiculous. Like, honestly, we need you to follow us. And we're going to start right off the bat with why we need you to follow us. So this week...
Yeah, why do we need them to follow us?
Okay, this week, kind of big news. Google decided that they wanted to do they're doing their early release for Google Glass, right? The thing's going to cost $1,500. It's going to be a limited release. But turns out that tons and tons and tons of people have $1,500, and they don't have tons and tons and tons of Google Glasses.
Okay.
So they did this competition. They created scarcity not to drive up price, but specifically to drive to create a viral idea, and they're leveraging a couple other technologies. I've been reading the book Contagious. It's crazy good, and it's blowing my mind. I can all of a sudden it's like
Contagious.
Yeah, it's about viral.
What's that about?
Well, the name of the book is a lot. It suggests it's a lot about viral stuff, things that go viral. But really and truly, the heart of the book is about
how to health.
It's the heart of the book is really about how to engage in word of mouth marketing and how to get people to talk about your products and to share your product because it's the most powerful type of marketing there is. And in the modern age, you know,
look at this engineer stepping into the marketing world.
It's important
being.
Oh man, dude. And honestly, this show, it's going to be, I hope it benefits from it. We might have to get
So let me ask you, are you liking the book? Do you like it?
Oh, it's great. It's really good. It's very good.
That was my life for 2 years in the MBA program. Just reading awesome books like that one after another.
Yeah. Well, he talks about all those books too. Not Built to Fail. No. What's the other one?
Built to Last.
That's the one. Yeah, those ones. And it's funny, in his intro, he talks about those books, and he's like, they're great books, and they pick stories, and they break down the stories, but he goes, like, I'm a cognitive psychologist. Like, I like stories, but I want to get into the meat of, like, what actually affects things statistically. How can we study these things and see what works? And so he, like...
Is it called Contagious?
Contagious. It's good.
Okay. I'm adding to my list right now.
I'm reading it on my Kindle Paperwhite. One of the ways, long and short of this, Google has started this campaign to get people talking about Google Glass. And this all kind of like knits together into this idea that earlier this week, or a couple weeks ago, they started this competition called If I Had Google Glass, I think is what it was. And it was a hashtag. And what you would do is you would tweet out what you would do if you had Google Glass, and you'd include the hashtag, and Google was going to go through all of those tweets. I can't remember what exactly the hashtag is. I have it somewhere. Give me 1 second.
But yeah, it was like, if I had glass or something like that.
Yeah. If I had glass. And the idea was that they would go through all those submissions, they'd find the people who would do the coolest things, and then once they knew what the coolest thing was, that, you know, what they have it, they would select out of those eight, or out of that like gigantic number of people that did all this, that submitted everything, they would pick 8,000 people, and those people would win the awesome prize of having to pay $1,500 to Google for the hardware.
And wouldn't they have to, if I remember correctly, like fly to New York or, you know, wherever it was to pick it up in person too? They weren't just going to ship it to you?
New York, LA, or San Francisco.
Yeah, so that would be like a big deal to me, not so big of a deal for you.
Right, yeah, exactly. I just like, you know, kick on over to San Fran. But they've beat me down so many times into believing that I don't matter to them in any capacity that I didn't even try. You should have, but I didn't.
I didn't either.
Well,
I was like,
and
I got,
also,
I didn't want to spend $1,500.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Especially when they're like
2 weeks
later, they're going to come out with another model that will be cheaper. Like
in 1 year, they're going to come out with a $300 model. Is the plan?
I have patience.
So yeah, exactly. It's cool, but I just don't have that kind of cash in around. Anyways,
so they did this competition, and
So
I'm
immediately
still waiting for this to tie into us needing more followers.
I know. I'm getting there. Okay. So basically what happened was his PhD, there's a lot of like complaints because there were people that were winning that were like, that were clearly not really into it. They'd put out like one tweet and they like didn't have anything to really back up what they were doing. And obviously a lot of developers and tech enthusiasts were like super into this and really wanted like to get on it. So the idea that people that like either A, didn't qualify for whatever, because there was a couple of qualifications, either A, they clearly didn't qualify, or B, they just obviously didn't care. They were just doing it because it sounded cool. Really, really upset a lot of people. And they were wondering,
these were people that were getting accepted?
Yeah. Yeah. And so people.
Because they put out a list.
Right. So people who didn't get. Well, I don't know if they put out a list. I don't know how people found out. Well, they must have put out a list. Because, anyways, big question has been, you know, what were the qualifications? Who won and why? Everybody wants to know. Yeah. Well, this dude decided he's got a PhD, Stanford PhD by the name of Andrej Kapathy, put together some data in an attempt to show that what Google's overall plan for this whole thing might have been. As it turns out, Google has clever criteria for choosing competition winners after all. Based on the data gathered by him, after going through their profiles of all the competition winners on Twitter by using Python and a little hackery, Google apparently chose mostly celebrities and famous Twitter personalities to win its competition. So
awesome.
They pick people who are big connectors, people with big followers. They probably just grabbed people's clout score to some degree. You know, some big surprise. Woo! So this is like brilliant. This is amazingly brilliant. And you know, in the context of this, which of course this upsets like all your tech people because you're like, well, I'm not famous, but I can do cool stuff with it. But what it proves is that this is identical to what Microsoft does with their open betas for Windows, where Windows, we've talked about this on the show before. It's a brief recap. Windows always has a giant beta where pretty much anybody can download it for free for like the 8 months leading up to the big release.
Right.
And then you're able to submit stuff. But basically what it is it's just a trial use period while it's still in quote beta. So if it doesn't work or there's bugs, then you can't complain about it. And then at the end of the 8 months, it goes away. It's a gigantic, enormous marketing campaign designed specifically to put this thing in the hands of users. And Google is great at this sort of thing. It's like with Google Plus. How did they get attention early on? They didn't just open it up to everybody. You had to get a special invite. Gmail, early on, you couldn't just get in. You had to get a special invite. And this guy talks about in the book Contagious, whereby he addresses specifically this strategy where he gives an example of there's a boutique, online boutique store. It's not doing really well. It's doing all right, but you know, it's just all right. He started this other store that exact same products, exact same prices, but it was a limited number of items, limited time period that you could buy it. And you had to be an invite-only membership, and they would sell out everything within the first 30 minutes.
Wow.
Of every item, because it was exclusive. It made people think that they were getting a special deal. So basically what this was, this is a giant way to get the word out about, hey, it's Google Glass, it's a giant ad campaign. This whole thing is brilliant. I love this. Because like,
so then they really don't need feedback then. They feel like they've got it locked in, or you know, their whatever processes they normally use to get feedback are going to work just fine.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm assuming like as far as developers go and stuff, you know, because that was the big promise of it, right? We're going to give it to early developers to come up with products. No,
yeah, they called it the developer whatever edition.
Yeah, that's not it at all. This is entirely, I'm sure there are developers who won, but that's clearly not the point. The point was to give it to people who could share it with developers or share it with people, but people who would share it, people who would wear it, people who would get noticed, because they've only got 8,000 and they want 300 million people to go, wow, that's really cool.
I wonder like what percentage, you know, did they just do like 1,000 popular people or even, you know, a couple hundred, and we just happen to know all those couple hundred names? And yeah, sure. There are actually 7,800 other developers that are cool? I don't know. That'd be interesting. Or was it like an overwhelming majority or just famous people?
Well, it's what it said, you know, unfortunately this article is a little bit of blog spam. It doesn't actually link to the article at all. It does say that it was mostly celebrities and Twitter personalities.
So what you're saying is people got to follow us, not just because RSS is going away and that'll be the only way they know about new episodes, but because it will allow us to get cool things in the future.
Yeah, exactly. This is how Google pays attention. Ironically, I love the fact that they didn't pay attention to your Google Plus profile stuff.
Well, you know.
You know, yeah, you know, it's nice.
Maybe they did. And this guy,
they probably did.
Unless he, you know, I don't. Well, those things are also highly correlated, anyways.
Right, it's true.
It doesn't matter.
If you're a big connector, you're a big connector. I'm like a major outlier for cloud because I follow my cloud score because I have a decent one. But it's like I get a huge cloud score because I got like a giant Facebook following. You know, because I've been on the site for coming up on a decade. That's terrifying. That's absolutely terrifying.
You're old. You should, yeah. That means you're stuck on Facebook.
That's
if you were
scary.
Young, you'd be getting off, but you know, you're old.
That's scary on so many levels, I don't even know what to do. And it's funny, you think about all the news services.
By the way,
yeah.
You're looking good.
Thank you. I appreciate
you're
that.
Good. You I may mean, be getting older, but you're looking good. Looking trim. I see.
Plus, like,
you know,
90 pounds.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So did you finally feel comfortable enough to get rid of the beard? You're like, all right, I reached whatever that weight was? Or was this just it was time to get rid of the beard?
No, you see, I decided that the only thing that I like more than having a beard is growing a beard. Really is what it came down to. And I shaved my face, and I was like, I immediately regretted it. But what was even worse is my hair horrible. So I like had to go out and get a haircut right away. But you know, I've gotten a lot of compliments. People think it looks nice. A girl I've been flirting with told me I look nice on Saturday. So, you know,
you look younger.
You know, I appreciate it. I try. Actually, that was the funniest thing. I went out with one of our cousins to get dinner, and we went to a kind of nice restaurant. They had like a drinks menu, and the dude came over and added a page to the drinks menu, which was for Italian sodas. He goes, "Oh, I just added Italian sodas for you guys too." I was like, "Really?" I haven't been carded in the last 5 years, and I'm like only 25. Like, let's be real here. Nobody thinks I'm that young. That's crazy. Of course, she looks pretty young too. So, but
that's funny.
We're both over 24. I'm 26, I guess. How old am I? I'm 26.
Tim, yeah, you're 26.
That's terrifying. Anyways, long
you're looking
story.
Good.
Thank you. I appreciate that. My face. This is crazy. I mean, it's just, or this is brilliant, dude. I love this. This is the sort of thing that's like, yeah, man, this is just straight up, you know, one of the things we, I don't
just
know.
Start shipping already. Come on, guys. No. You know, quit dragging it out.
You didn't listen to the show last week yet, jerk.
Nope.
But, you know, one of the things I mentioned is, and I think this is unique about the show, I think. Is that we actually talk about marketing campaigns. And this is the kind of ones that are fun, where you're like, you realize, oh, wait, this is marketing. This isn't TV ads. This is, I don't know. I got it. Oh, it feels good. Anyways.
Did it say how many people replied back?
No. These are terrible articles.
Okay.
They're awful.
Yeah, that's okay. That's allowed. I just was wondering.
It's not really allowed. It's actually pretty bad journalism on these parts. Since we're not journalists, so we're allowed to say that.
Yeah, I that's interesting. That's an interesting way to do it. I mean, you know, it also helps that they're Google and they can get away with that kind of stuff because they're already huge. You know, if we did it, I don't think we would get nearly the kind of response. But we're also not, like, making anything amazing.
You see, yes, we are, James. We make thought-provoking podcasts every week, and they are amazing, okay?
Okay, yeah, I'm with you there. That is not a smartphone on your face.
That's it's a little different, yeah, you know.
It goes, see that rests on your ears, and I get it, ours is between the ears, but let's be honest, hardware wins.
Yeah,
it's true. Any time of the week. Hardware is sexy.